Hey, things may seem a little crazy right now in our world, but even in the midst of that, I believe that God is actually inviting us to continue to grow in our faith, to continue to take the next step. And so we're doing a series of messages about just putting our faith into action, like taking the very next step that God might be inviting us into. And it's actually really not that difficult. Jesus, when challenged about boiling the law and the prophets all down, said that it involves loving God and loving others. And we sum that up here at the Vineyard in Duluth pretty succinctly. Love God, love people, period. Today, we're going to focus in on the loving people part, right, John?
Yeah, and you know, we should love our neighbors because, well, Jesus commanded us to, and he's our boss, right? But there's more. You know, let's be honest. Many of us, including me, during this pandemic, have had times when it's difficult to connect with God. He feels a long way off. We love Jesus, but where is he? We put on the worship music and sing to it, but we just feel alone in our room.
Yeah.
What's going on? I don't like it, right? I don't like the online and the Zoom. You know, doesn't God want me? Doesn't he love me? Doesn't he care about me? Me. This pandemic is a great opportunity to focus on ourselves and to miss God, what he's doing. If we want to connect with God, easy. Let's love our neighbors in Jesus' name. That's and really I guarantee good. Jesus will be there. Matthew 25, he will show up in that moment. Yeah, if we're willing to take steps towards, even like scary, halting baby steps towards loving people, loving our neighbors, God shows up.
He's in
that, and it feels so good. His presence working in us and through us.
Yeah, so like where do we begin with that? Like what do we do? How do we start to love our neighbors? Well, first of all, we might be tempted to kind of ask a question like a teacher of the law asked Jesus when he says, like, who is my neighbor? And thankfully, Jesus was asked that question exactly, and he responded with this story. It comes out of Luke chapter 10, and it goes like this. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. It was about a 30-mile stretch of road, and it was kind of a dangerous road. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And then he went to put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any expenses you may have. Verse 36, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise.
Oh, you got to love Jesus. You ask him a simple question, and you get a cool little story.
That's right.
Yeah, so who is our neighbor? Well, I guess it sure looks like our neighbor is anyone who's in need. But Jesus doesn't say that, does he? What Jesus does is tell this cool little story about one particular guy in need after he gets robbed and beaten. You know, Jesus is a genius, and he knows us humans. He knows it's so easy for us to love people in a general way. You know, I love you all, as opposed to loving specific, particular people in concrete ways.
That's right.
Jesus, he expects us to love real people with real needs, not, you know, pretend people with metaphorical needs.
That's right. You know, John, it's real easy. It's easier to pray for world peace than it is actually to go resolve conflict with somebody that is giving us a hard time, right?
That's for sure.
So let's look at who's our neighbor. We want to look at our own stories. Right now, kind of during the pandemic, who are the people around us? Like, who are the faces maybe that come to mind, even as we're talking about neighbors right now? Many of us are staying home more, right? So how about our actual, literal, real, physical neighbors, yeah. like the people in the houses, like or next to us, or in the apartment above or below us, like or who live maybe across the alley or across the, you know, down the street or across the field, mm-hmm. like our real neighbors. I wonder if we actually know our neighbors, like know their names, know anything about them. Maybe I wonder, I bet they're currently struggling with things right now, mm-hmm. pretty much all of our neighbors. I wonder if we know what those things are that they're struggling with. You know, people might we come across, like even in our daily activities as we go shopping. Mm-hmm. These are the folks Jesus is talking about.
Yeah, now that we've identified some of our neighbors, what would it look like for us to actually love them? Hmm. Well, Jesus' little story, it shows us, right? The man, he's attacked in this dangerous place. It's like he's walking down a dark alley in a bad part of town.
Yeah.
And he's lying there naked and bleeding and bruised and half dead. And a priest and a Levite, they see him and they walk on by. Why? Jesus doesn't say. Maybe it was too dangerous to stop. You know, these guys, priests and Levites, they were good guys, respected leaders in their community. You know, it would be like the mayor or the CEO of Minnesota Power or even a Vineyard pastor. None of them would be foolish enough to help this guy to take that risk in this situation.
Yeah.
See, it's not just that they are heartless jerks.
That's right.
No, it's that it goes beyond what's reasonable, what a good and reasonable person would do in these circumstances. See, loving our neighbor, it does go beyond what's reasonable.
It does. And in fact, it could often feel dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, that it's a shocking kind of love that takes risks. And this is nothing new. Like, followers of Jesus actually have a history of going beyond what's reasonable, even during global pandemics.
Yeah.
So, like, in 165 AD, there was a devastating pandemic that swept through the Roman Empire. It could have been smallpox. And a quarter to a third of the population died.
Wow.
And because the followers of Jesus loved their neighbors, they acted differently than everyone else did during the pandemic. The pagan families in the Roman Empire, they were abandoning their own sick. They were laying them out on the streets because they didn't want to be infected, or they were leaving town completely, going to like their summer homes so that they could get away from the infection. And the Christians stayed, not only to care for their own sick, but they stayed to care for everyone else's sick. And just like Jesus, they made costly sacrifices for the sake of others, even for the pagans who had persecuted them. And I love this. Historians will tell you that Christianity flourished during the pandemic, while paganism in Rome completely collapsed.
Wow. And now, today, it's our turn. How will we go beyond what's reasonable to love our neighbors during our pandemic? You know, some of us, we're medical professionals, first responders, grocery store workers. We are on the front lines. We are risking ourselves to help others. And if that's you, thank you. We pray for you.
That's right. Absolutely.
But you know, this kind of risk really is for all of us, all followers of Jesus. And often the first step is that risky step, that risking embarrassment just to go across the street and find out what people's names are, introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
It's that awkward conversation from 6 feet apart. It's learning what their needs are.
That's right.
How is the Holy Spirit inviting you to take a risk for your neighbors, actual people in your life?
That's right. And loving our neighbors will be costly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Jesus' little story, we see that it takes time and energy and even money. 2 denarii was about 2 days' wages. So this is like costly sacrificial love, but this is actually what Jesus does for us. He loved us by giving up his rights, by sacrificing everything, by dying on a cross for us. And now we get to follow his example. We get to love our neighbors like that. And so there's lots of ways during a pandemic that we could do that. Like as a church, that's one of the big reasons why we closed our building and why we will likely close it again when COVID cases start to peak here up in the upper Midwest. Mm-hmm. As followers of Jesus, here's the deal. We want to lay down our rights and privileges during a time like this as an act of love. Mm-hmm. Our choice to not meet together is not because of fear, and it's not because we have a low view of the church gathering together. We have a very high view of that. Mm-hmm. And what we also have is an extremely high view of human life and love for neighbor. So yeah. That's why we close the building.
Yeah, Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to a neighbor.
There you go.
You know, going online, taking all that work and staying home and watching at home, it gives us a chance to intentionally inconvenience ourselves.
Yeah.
For our neighbors.
That's right.
Because Jesus asks us, he commands us to go beyond what's reasonable to love them. Now, personally, I got to tell you, I hate wearing a mask. I feel like I can't breathe. My doctor friends tell me you're getting enough oxygen, but I hate it. I want to be able to hug people. I'm an introvert, but I could use some hugs. But I do wear a mask, and I keep my distance. Not for politics or because it's political, you know, it's popular and popular opinion. No, I do it for Jesus.
That's
because
right.
I can do it to love my neighbors, to keep them from harm.
Yeah.
You see, laying down our rights, even our legal rights, is part of loving our neighbors. It's something that Jesus did. Now, as a former attorney, lawyer, I noticed something in this story, this little story Jesus told. You know, attorneys, we don't like to get our hands dirty, right? It's a white-collar job. But the Good Samaritan, loving your neighbor, that's both a white-collar and a blue-collar job. You got to be willing to get your hands dirty. The Good Samaritan went in there in the dirt and the blood and the sweat and tears, right? Just look what he did, right? He went to the guy. He bandages his wounds. He treats his wounds. Then he, you know, heaves him up on his donkey, and he transports him to the inn. He cares for him in the inn. He pays for him. He hires someone else to care for him.
That's
he
right.
He promises to come back and pay more because that's the deal. That's the kind of hands-on things we do. That's part of it. Loving our neighbors means meeting real, practical needs.
And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I felt like, well, I don't feel like I have the resources. Like sometimes as a father of young kids, you can feel like, you know, everybody's pulling on you and everybody's like wanting something from you. Or maybe you feel that way in work. But here's the deal. I think Jesus gives us a really cool example here with the Samaritan. You just start with what you have.
Yeah.
The Samaritan had like some oil, had some wine, he had some bandages of some sort. He had some sort of a first aid kit. There was a few days' wages that he was carrying with him, and he had a donkey. You know, I think it's kind of like the when Jesus fed the 5,000, that, you know, all he had to work with was a young boy's lunch. Here's the deal. If we take whatever we have and give it to Jesus, like, he can actually do stuff with it.
Yeah.
And so think about it for a minute. Like, what has God entrusted you with? Like, what do you really have? Like, what are you good at? And you take that and you begin to offer it to your neighbor. Some of us are really good at conversation, just making small talk. I'm not good at that. I don't know. Are you good at that, John?
I think you know the answer to that. I'm not sure I could be more awkward.
But I have the gift of awkwardness. That's what I got. Like, and so you take what you've got, and you actually go to your neighbor with that, right?
Yeah.
And you just do something. Like anything at all will actually work. We just have to break that invisible barrier that stands between us and our actual neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And here's an idea. Just you're already doing something on almost any given day. Invite people to do it with you. Hamilton, anyone?
Yeah.
I bet people would come on over.
Yeah. You know, what this is about, it's about, you know, mowing lawns and painting and taking care of kids and cleaning up barf, right? You know, our actual neighbors have real practical needs.
That's right.
And anyone can meet someone else's practical needs. I mean, even if you're a kid, a teenager, right? If an older person lives next door, go over and offer to do some yard work or wash their car.
How old do you have to be? I'm old.
Yeah. Maybe we should give out your address. Or, you know, if you're a kid and you know other kids in the neighborhood, right? They're stuck at home,
that's
too.
Right.
Maybe take one of your favorite toys and disinfect it and give it to them. Give them some
that's
of
right.
Jesus's love.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And then what about food? With our pandemic and the economy, more and more people are food insecure. And so if your neighbors need food, we could cook them a meal. You know, we've got this amazing food shelf here at the Vineyard that's been open, and it's going to stay open during the entire pandemic, Tuesday nights and Saturday mornings. You could actually either drive over here with your neighbors or come over here and get food for them and bring it back to them. You know, if you find out that they need food, you could help them in that way. It's kind of like the next step. just get your hands dirty and pick up some food for them.
Yeah, there's so many things that we could do. You know, Jesus here, it's cool how this guy just asks him. He says, hey, you know, who's your neighbor? And Jesus, with this little story, shows us that our neighbor is anyone around us who's in need. And we're to love them with a love that goes beyond what's reasonable, a love that meets their practical, real needs. And I'm sure this was shocking to the people listening to Jesus, right? I picture in my mind their mouths kind of dropped when they heard this, like, what? And they're probably thinking, like, seriously? And Jesus is like, yeah, seriously, go and do likewise. Today, that's what Jesus says to all of us. Go and do likewise. Love like this.
Yeah.
How does that make us feel to hear that from Jesus?
Yeah. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. Jesus saying, telling the story, you're there in the crowd. He says, go and do likewise.
Yeah.
You know, he's asking us to do, honestly, exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. I love the way Eugene Peterson translates out of John chapter 1, verse 14 in the Message version. It talks about Jesus coming to earth, and it says this, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood.
Oh, that's good.
It's like God moved into the neighborhood. What if we pictured ourselves as ambassadors of Christ, the way that Paul calls us in the letter to the Corinthians? And in us, like through us, God has moved into the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, in many ways, the story of the Good Samaritan is the story of Jesus himself. He's moved into our neighborhoods and become the kind of neighbor that he's actually inviting us to be. He goes well beyond what's reasonable. He gives his very life to redeem us from our slavery to sin, our destructive choices. Mm-hmm. And so, like, here's the big deal. Like, you and I can't do this. We can't go and do likewise without experiencing something. You can't give away what you don't have.
Yeah.
If you go ahead and try it, like, you're going to fail just like everyone else does. Loving our neighbors actually begins coming to terms with the fact that we can't love our neighbors. It's impossible for us to do this completely and totally on our own.
Yeah.
And I love the way the Bible doesn't tell us how the guy questioning Jesus or anyone else reacted to Jesus saying, go and do likewise. But John and I were talking, and it's kind of hope he said, but Jesus, like, I can't do that, right?
Yeah.
Because when we admit we can't do something and we turn to God, he actually shows up. He empowers us by the Holy Spirit. When we surrender, when we commit our lives to Jesus, when we let him change us and transform us, then we actually can move into this place where we begin to love our neighbors.
Yeah, and it just starts by seeing that God, he took human form. That's Jesus, right. He moved into the neighborhood, and he came to do what we can't do for ourselves. He lived a sinless life and died on that cross to pay the price for our sins. Mm. Do we see ourselves as no better than our neighbors? Mm. We are just as much in need of rescue of Jesus as they are. And some of us, we think, well, you know, I'm good with Jesus. You know, I got Jesus. I'm good. Okay. When's the last time we actually loved our neighbors? Mm. And you know, loving our neighbors doesn't save us, but it's like a tree. You know, the fruit on a tree doesn't make the tree healthy, but healthy trees, they do bear fruit. And if we're not ever actually loving our neighbors, we ain't bearing fruit and we ain't healthy. Mm. But today, Jesus, he loves us so much. He's here to heal us. He's here to transform us, to share his love with us. If we are willing to surrender, to commit our lives to him for the first time or the 100th time, we can do this.
That's right. So picture yourself for a minute as a tree that John was just talking about, and you want to bear better fruit. Real trees can't do this, but you can. Like, just picture picking up your roots and putting them into Jesus, right? And allowing his life to flow through you. And so here's what I want to do. I want to lead us through, and John, maybe I'll start this and you can wrap it up.
Sounds good.
But we want to lead you through a really simple prayer of surrender and commitment to Jesus, and then surrender and commitment to, like, love our neighbors the way that he would love us. And so I'll begin, and I just invite you just to pray with me. Whether you've been, like, maybe just kind of watching online services, or you've kind of dabbled in church and you're not sure kind of where your commitments lie, or you've been following Jesus lock, stock, and barrel for a whole bunch of years, I just invite you to, like, pick up those roots that have strayed away, and let's put those, like, in the pot of who Jesus is and really allow the Holy Spirit to like change us and empower us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right now we invite your presence. And God, I ask that you would allow us to like almost repot our lives, as it were, to become really healthy plants, healthy trees that bear great fruit. And Lord, we've tried doing this on our own. We've tried like just kind of, I don't know, grabbing ourselves by the bootstraps to try to love other people, and we get frustrated and we give up, and or it feels clumsy or awkward. And we quit doing it. Lord, we really want really good fruit, and that's not going to come. We can't give away what we don't have, and so we come to you.
Yeah, Jesus.
And we submit and we surrender to you. Sorry, John.
It's okay. Jesus, we just say yes to what you did on the cross.
That's right.
That you are who you said you are, the Son of God. You did it for us. You died on that cross for us, and you rose again, proving it's true. And you did it so that you could love us. So even now, wherever we are, help us to feel that love. As Michael said, as we replant ourselves, help us to feel that living water just enter into us now, the Holy Spirit, changing us.
That's right.
So we can love like you love.
That's right.
Send us out.
And God, I ask that you would give us vision for loving our neighbors in ways that are scary, but that we always dreamed were possible.
Oh, yeah.
In ways that we're maybe a little bit afraid to jump into, but we always hoped we could. Would you give us vision to actually love the people around us just like you would? Hmm. And here's the deal, Duluth Vineyard. If every single one of us just began to embrace this a little bit and began to take little steps this week, like it could actually change the culture of our community.
Yeah.
It could actually change some of the polarization and the anger that we see even on social media and in our neighborhoods. It could bring real change to that as we begin to do that with the real people around us, even from 6 feet away with masks on. Mm. Yeah. So, God, would you empower us and envision us to do that and to begin to walk that out even this week? Yeah. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.